Tamara, thanks for sharing some of your story with us. And I realize for many of us, you may have seen Tamara before, but you probably didn't know as much about her as you do now, which is a wonderful part of this storytelling that we've had over the past few weeks, to realize that each of us have a story to tell, and a very powerful story, a very important story, and how important it is we hear that story from one another. You know, at the top of her sheet here, "Thy will, not mine." I don't know about you, but one of the most challenging things in my life has always been surrendering to God's will. I mean, it's easy when I'm between a rock and a hard place and I really can't figure it out and I'm glad to give it to Him. But in those other areas like you where I really want something in particular, I think I really have a great plan for my life. And like Tamara, God, in only the way that God can, says no or not yet. I find it incredibly difficult to listen and to follow that voice. You know, it's interesting, in Tamara's journey, she knew the voice of God, child, speaking to her and being with her. And God was with her through her journey. Even out to L.A., God was with her in that journey. And during that time, she learned a lot. By the way, Tamara's very soft-spoken. She would never let you know this, but I'll let you know this about her. She actually was an actress on General Hospital and had some other name positions that were really great. So she wouldn't tell you that, but I can brag on her and let you know about that because I think that's awesome. So there really is a tremendous gift there, and we're really praying for God's open doors in God's perfect time. But one of the things I hope that we can find encouragement in is that as we're on this journey of life, as much as it might be a struggle for you and me at certain times to really listen to God and to surrender to His will. You know, there are times in our life where we just really struggle with that and what it means. I mean, because God's will is very clear sometimes, especially in the Scripture, and at times to follow Him is sacrifice for us. It's surrender. It's letting go of what we want in order that His will might be done in our life. That costs something sometimes. When we say, "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," guess where that prayer is answered first? In your life. That's where that prayer begins to be answered, is in your life. As much as you and I are pointing around to, I know somebody who really needs to do this, be careful when you point your finger, because I find that when I do that, God just turns it right around and, "Oh, by the way, buddy, you remember this one, right? Let's start with you. Let's not start with me. Yeah, we're going to start with you." That's how that works. Tamara, thank you for your story and your journey with God. I don't know about you, but the one image I remember from her story is sitting by the La Brea tar pits. I grew up in California, so I've been there before. Let me tell you, a very memorable view, especially in light of her journey and where she was at that point, and how God was speaking to her. And so we're so grateful that you're here to share this journey with you. And we affirm with you that the reason why you're here is because this is where God wants you right now. And we're grateful for that. If you flip over your green sheet, you'll notice at the top, I focus in on one of the devotionals that Alicia shares with us in 40 Days of Decrease, and really ties in with Tamara's story. And the fast that I'm focusing in on today is her invitation to us to fast spectatorship. And all of us know what that word means, that idea of being a spectator, the idea of somebody who, in a way, watches life go by. Or maybe you know somebody who watches the football game as an armchair quarterback. "Oh, if I was in there, I would have done that, or I would have done this, and we would have won the game," right? And all of us in our own lives, in a way, at times, can be armchair quarterbacks. We can become spectators. But God is calling us, and Alicia is speaking to us, I believe, to not live life like that. God has not called us to be spectators, but rather to live our life, just like Tamara lived her life and was in her journey and living it out and making the best choices that she could, sometimes right, sometimes wrong. But that's part of life, isn't it? It's making a choice and learning from it, learning what it means to follow God. And so she shares this scripture with us in Zechariah. "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And so she's setting the story for what we'll be celebrating next week, which is Palm Sunday weekend. And this is the story of Jesus riding a donkey into Jerusalem, and where the people are greeting him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's the one time the people of Israel got it right with Jesus, and it was great. You know what? As he was riding into the city as the Messiah, they took off their cloaks and they laid it on the road before he came. They cut down palm branches and they began to wave them in his presence. And this is what they would do with anyone who is royalty or an official, as a sign of deference, as a sign of celebration. And so these people were not spectators watching Jesus come in. They were participants. They were joyfully celebrating him as the Messiah. Now, there were other people that were spectating, some of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They couldn't believe what was going on again. Here are the people welcoming Jesus as, of all things, the Messiah. And they weren't participating in that at all. They were upset about what they were seeing, and they were making plans for later on of that Holy Week. So you have to remember that as you are a participant in life, as you are busy in your relationship with God and worshiping him, there are going to be people around you that are spectators, and they're going to be watching you. And sometimes they may not say very kind things to you. But what I want to say to you is, don't worry about the spectators. Be busy about worshiping the Lord and loving him and being open to that. That's what we see in the gospel lesson today with Mary, don't we? Here we see Jesus in this house. Mary has a plan. And she has this very costly perfume, and she anoints Jesus' feet with it. So, and the fragrance of the perfume, it's so rich and so costly that it fills the whole house with the scent of that perfume. It must have been beautiful. And after she had anointed his feet with that perfume, she begins to wipe them with her hair as a sign of worship, as a sign of reverence. I imagine she's crying. There's her brother Lazarus at the table eating dinner with them. I mean, can you imagine the scene? She's just overcome with love of the Lord. And then what happens? There's a spectator there. His name is Judas. He starts to complain. Why did she waste this great perfume on your feet? You know, why did she do this? She could have sold this perfume and we could have given the money to the poor. And you know how that part of the story goes in the gospel. But you see, Mary did not care what Judas thought. She did not care about what anybody else thought in that room. She was so in love with the Lord and so captivated with his presence that she wanted to worship him and wanted to love on him, and anointed his feet with this wonderful perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. What a very intimate scene. What a lovely scene. It's one of my favorite stories in the gospel. So moving, so touching, so loving. And Jesus says to Judas and everybody else there who's a spectator, leave her alone. Jesus stands up for her. Jesus stands up for the people that love him and worship him. He says, leave her alone, because she has done this to anoint me for my burial. He knows exactly why she has done this. And she has moved the heart of Jesus. She has touched him because of her love, because of her extravagant sacrifice, because of her worship before him in a way that is beautiful and loving and touches Jesus' heart. Have you ever thought about that before? That we're invited to worship the Lord in such a way that we're not worried about what other people around us think, but we're to worship him in a way that touches his heart. Imagine that kind of worship. I don't know about you, but when I grew up in church when I was young, when I went to church, I was a spectator. I'll just be honest with you. And the reason why I can say that to you is because of how I was thinking. I was worried about what everybody else around me was thinking of what I did. I was concerned about how they would think about how I moved. I usually was sat toward the back, so not too many people could watch me, things like that. And I also watched my watch. I wanted to make sure the service was moving along. I couldn't wait until it was over. Just being honest. Couldn't wait till it was over, because I was going to go to the donut hour. It wasn't the coffee hour. It was the donut hour. because, boy, I was down on those donuts, and I loved them. I ate them, especially the chocolate-covered ones that they tell me now I shouldn't eat, but, boy, great memories. But you see, the reality for me growing up was I was a spectator. I was worried about what everybody else was thinking in the church. And then finally, I came into relationship with Christ. I experienced his love for me. I grew in a deeper love for him. And I began to come into a place of worshiping him where more and more I really wasn't as worried about what people thought about me. It wasn't that I didn't care about them. It was just I was caught up in Jesus and worshiping him. Kind of like Mary was caught up in putting that perfume on his feet and wiping them with her hair and just worshiping him. We need to stop worrying about what other people think, especially when it comes to Jesus. Let me read you a quote from Alicia on this part, fasting spectatorship, that I love. It's on your green sheet. Today, fast spiritual spectatorship. Enter into worship. When considerations start turning into hesitations about something Jesus is clearly at the center of, throw hyper-caution to the wind and celebrate Jesus with abandon. What does it look like for you and for me to begin to celebrate Jesus with abandon? To begin to not really worry about what people around you are going to think, but to begin to really focus in on loving the Lord and worshiping him. Does it mean you might begin to raise your hands and worship to him? Maybe. Does it mean you might be more devoutly kneeling and just in tears before him or smiling and joyful before God because of how he's touched your heart? What does it look like for you to begin to joyfully abandon yourself to the Lord and to worship him and to love him and to be a witness to him? You know, so often in our lives, especially Christians, we're afraid of what people are going to think. Let me tell you what they think of you, because they tell me this stuff a lot. No need for you to get paranoid. I'm just telling you in general what happened, and you can fill in the blanks too. They either think you're great or they think you're crazy. They either think you're the most awesome person on the planet or they really don't want to have anything to do with you. Well, tell me something I don't know, right? Tell me something I don't know. And unless it's somebody you really respect and really cares about you and loves you and has your best interests at heart, who cares? That's the nice thing about getting older, isn't it? You can get to the place where you just don't care anymore. And you know what? It's nice. I just don't care. I really don't care. I respect what you think. I want to hear what you have to say, and I trust you would entertain me to that same extent as well. But I realize both ways, there'll be time where you're just like, well, okay, I'm going to go do what I want to do anyways. I know that. You know that. How are you walking in relationship to the Lord? Are you ready to pour your perfume on his feet? For those of you blessed with hair, to wipe it with that. Are you really willing to begin to let go? Not to show anything to anybody, but because you love him and you want to worship him and be with him. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm feeling, and I trust you're feeling it in your heart as well. So, you'll notice on your green sheet, it's about a half a page here. You might not need a half a page. Might just won't write one or two sentences, I don't know. But it's underlined, celebrating Jesus with abandon. I'm going to ask you to get kind of scary here, a little crazy here. Boy, Father Joe, this is something I would only do if nobody was watching me. You know, maybe it might be closing all the blinds in your house, making sure nobody's there, and turning up the praise music and worshiping him, dancing before the Lord. Maybe that's it. Maybe it's actually being willing to step out in faith and pray for somebody at the hospital bed and share with them about how the Lord loves them and you love them, and you're going to pray for God to move in a healing way in their life. But what does it look like for you to celebrate Jesus with abandon? And I mean abandon, to let go, to do something you haven't done before, to be free. You know, it says in the scripture that when the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. You'll be free to smile. You'll be free to love. You'll be free to have joy. You'll be free to blow it and have successes. You'll be free to laugh at yourself and laugh at others and realize it's not the end of the world, because he's really come to set you free. It also says he's come that you might have life and have it abundantly. That's why when we come to the service where we begin the communion, it's called the great thanksgiving and not the great drudgery. Not the great mourning. Not the great depression. But the great thanksgiving. This is a time of joy and giving thanks to the Lord. So I'm inviting you to tap into maybe a part of you that you haven't been in touch with for a long, long time. And that is the part of you that the Lord wants to make free. Really, he has come to set you free. He has come to set you free in ways that you and I can only begin to imagine. So let's just take a moment, and there's pencils in your pew. Maybe you have a pen. But write down whatever is coming to mind for you. It might be something crazy. Write it down. Or it might be something very doable. Write it down as something that you might be willing to do later on as a way to celebrate Jesus with abandon, with all of your heart, with all of your love, and with all that you are. So please take a moment with me to do that right now.